We continue. I want to spend one more day learning about the bracha of tekah b'shofar gadol cheiru seichel. We did it last week. We spent one session last week. So let's today do another session on the 10th bracha of the Shemayin Esrei. The 10th bracha is tekah b'shofar gadol cheiru seichel. Okay, so we say over here, may Hashem, you blow the one who, by the way, who's going to blow the shofar? This is all based on the pasuk. The kav b'shofar gadol cheresim v'sameis the kavitz.
Mahani's gonna blow it. He has a lot of hot air.
Okay, so the shofar is blown. It's really a machlekes. I think the machlekes is based on the pasuk.
This should not be a form of personal attacks.
I mean, you're very qualified for it.
The Hoya Bayoy Mahu Yitok Abashofar Godal of Vahoiv de Beeretzasha, Vani Dachim Beeretz, Mitzrayim, Mishtachel Hashem, Arakodesh, Bushaloyim, that Pasik is the Pasik Yeshaya, that tells about the blowing of the Shofar in times of Mashiach, and obviously this Nusach Atfil is borrowed partially from that Pasik, where it talks about the Gula of Vahoya Bayoy Mahu Yitok Abashofar Godal. Who's the one that's going to blow Yitok? He will blow. Who will he? So Pashim Shad is Hashem is going to blow the Shofar. Not so Pashit. Some say is that the Melech HaMashiach will blow the shofar, and some say that everyone's going to blow the shofar. Everyone, every person will blow the shofar. That's a whole big topic of who's the one that you talk. Okay, whatever it is. Now, okay, a couple of ideas. First idea I want to talk about is this bracha. I saw something very interesting. This bracha, from all the brachas of the Shemona Esrei, is the most symbolic. In this bracha, there are a disproportionate number of symbols. None of the other brachas of Shemona Esrei have symbols. I'll take any random bracha. Slach lanu avinu ki chatanu mechal lanu malkenu ki fashanu. I've sinned, I've rebelled, ki mechel v'slech atam. I don't see any symbol. Take any bracha. Let's say v'lam al shinim. The wicked people, al ti sikva v'chol arusha, kurega toiveid v'chol oivecha, mer yukareisa v'yazin mer asa'ake v'shabu v'smagi v'sachnia, mer v'yemenu. I don't see any symbols. Straight. Glat, like a real litvak. Don't, you know, sometimes you tell, you know, I found the fine is if you say like, you know, symbolic Torah, you take things in the pasuk and you start, it's a metaphor. There are some people, they get like very uncomfortable. They cannot deal with this type of stuff. Many people, they like very simple, straightforward ideas. You have a pasuk, read the pasuk. Don't tell me. Let's talk about the bris bein habsarim. So Hashem showed Avraham Avinu. He took the animals, the shor, and this animal, and he split it. Vayivater oisam batovech. He cut it down the middle, and Hashem and Avraham they passed through the center. The Hashem, there was a ball of fire, which is, you know, a representative of the Shechina, but v'yes hatzipar, the birds, loivosar, Hashem did not split. So if Rashi really says, Rashi tells you pshat, then you can say the birds, this is Klal Yisrael, and the animal is this Malchus, and this animal is this Malchus. Rashi. There are some people, that is enough for them. It's hard enough to live in this world reading a Rashi that tells you that the words in the pasuk are symbolic. The tzipor, Rashi says, represents Klal Yisrael. Go through the whole Rashi. You know, they'll say to you, I have a very difficult life in this world just being able to get through Chumash and Rashi and accepting what Rashi tells me. Rashi makes a drasha like this. You want to tell me your own chidushim? You want to take a pasuk in Zechariah and you want to go, it says this word, and you're telling me it's symbolic, it's a metaphor? No. I cannot deal with this. There are a lot of people like that. Mark, you give me this funny face here. There are people that cannot deal with this type of Torah, but I don't have any problem with this. Okay, so what's interesting is that you look at the Shemona Esrei, it's like really straightforward. There's, you know, I'm now looking at the bracha Semach David. You know, maybe that's a little bit more symbolic. All right. But this bracha takes the cake. This bracha of kibbutz goliyos, teka bishoifar. Okay, the shoifar is, does it really mean a shoifar? Or is a shoifar more symbolic? The blowing of the sound, the koil Hashem. The word shoifar, according to many, is more of a metaphor than it is to be taken literally. It then says, v'so nes, lift up a flag. A nes, a flag. Is that what it means, a flag? A piece of cloth? You're going to raise on a pole, one flag, the whole world's going to see the one flag? And then it says, gather us together from the four corners of the earth. As far as I know, the earth doesn't have four corners. It may be an absolute fact that the earth is flat, that we all know to be true. If you disagree with this fact, then you are disagreeing with Dr. Fauci, and you're a non-believer in the science. We know the earth is flat. But whoever said it has four corners, there are a lot more than four corners. There are many corners, right? So what does it mean from the four corners of the earth? It is symbolic. So what's going on here? I read there are three blatant symbols in this blessing. A shofar, a nes, and the four corners of the earth. Be careful, Mark. Those corners are very sharp. Don't get hurt when you pass by them. What's going on here? Go look at all the other brachas. You find symbols? We're talking in symbols here. All of a sudden, the bracha of kibbutz goliyos is symbolic. What's the pshat? This really fits in very much to what we learn in the morning in Zechariah and Shrei Asar, is that geula, more so than anything else, has many dimensions, many, many layers, many facets, and it opens up a world of symbolism. Is the coming of Mashiach so cut and dry? We're going to be sitting here one shul, and one day you're going to hear, guess what, Mashiach is here. There's a person wearing a talus and a kittel on a white donkey. He's walking down the street. He's blowing a shofar, a big shofar. Is that what Mashiach is all about? And he's now going to be the solution to all the world's problems? It's so cut and dry? Or is Mashiach a process? It's a complicated process that's unfolding for the last 2,000 years, or even more. It's a complex process. Well, I think most people who are mature and who have studied this clearly understand that Mashiach, it's more than just the man. We obviously have emunah pshuta that ultimately Mashiach, there will be a person. But it's a much, much more complex process that has an enormous number of parts and dimensions and facets, and how everything comes together. Mashiach has been unfolding in front of us for the last 2,000 years. Thus, that is why in this bracha only, Ach v'rak, we go to town, we open up the floodgates, and we embellish it with symbolism, metaphors, a nes, flag, the four corners of the earth, the blowing of a shofar. These are symbols of geula, because geula is not dry. When it comes to refuah, refa'enu Hashem v'nei rafe, you know, this is simple, this is cut and dry. Do you have a fever or do you don't have a fever? Are you able to walk to shul or you're not able to walk to shul? What are your numbers? Let's see the blood pressure numbers. Hand over the lab report. Let's see the numbers. It's straight. Am I healthy? Am I not healthy? What's your IQ number? Let's know how intelligent you are. How quickly can you add together numbers? It's cut and dry. Okay, slach lanu, forgive us. You did an aveir, you didn't do an aveir. The person, Rachman Slan, was Michal Shabbos. You bring a carbon, you didn't bring a carbon? I mean, did you do teshuva? Did you not do teshuva? What are you holding in life? Many things in the Shemoneh Esrei can be defined with scientifically. They can be defined with a scientific method. But when you're dealing with Mashiach, Kibbutz Goliyos, the Ka B'Shoifa Godol Cheruseinu, this is not something which can be defined through a scientific method. This is something which is complex. It's symbolic. It's a very long, complicated process. And therefore, we elaborate in this bracha specifically on symbols to bring out the deeper meaning of this bracha. Okay, so that is one idea. Let's go to another idea. Another idea I want to bring out. This really blew my mind. This is something which is before we get to that, let me do a hakdama. We'll come to that part a little bit later. One of the basic questions many of the commentators ask regarding this bracha is there appears to be repetition. We already had a bracha in the beginning of the Shemoneh Esrei for redemption. Re'ei na ve'onyenu ve'riva rivenu. U'gyoleinu meheru l'man shemecha. We had a bracha in the beginning. Re'ei ve'onyenu, Hashem, may you behold our Onyenu can mean many things: our affliction, our poverty, our suffering. Veriva Rivenu, may you take up our cause. Ugyolenu, may you redeem us. Mehiru l'man shmecha. Okay, we learned this bracha. We discussed this. And this bracha, I told when we learned the bracha, and then we discussed it at great length, is that this bracha really is about shiduchim, because this exact musach is in the Haggadah. We say in the Haggadah, Vayar es onyenu. Zu Perishas Derecheretz, that was another shiur, okay? Now, the truth is, the Mishnah Berurah really asked this question. The Mishnah Berurah asked the question, what's this bracha all about? Because we really have the bracha of what we're learning today, the Ka'a B'Shaifa. So the Mishnah Berurah very clearly says, and he's quoting sources, is that the bracha of Re'ei Navaninu is not about redemption. It is about personal redemption. When the bracha concludes, Baruch Atah Hashem, Goel Yisrael, redeem the Jewish people, it's not talking about Mashiach. It's not talking about the Melech HaMashiach. It's talking about people have problems. Private problems in life. People have issues with Parnasa, with Refuah, with their children, with anti-Semitism, with depression. The list goes on and on. Just open up FJJ. And you'll learn about what goes on in this world. Okay, everyone has issues. B'li yoytze min haklal. V'gam ani b'soicham. To say the least. Everyone has issues. And the bracha of Re'ei V'onyenu is your personal issues. Let's not talk about the klal yisra. We're not holding there yet. Let's first go to the basics. The basics are, you start off the Shemoneh Esrei, it's very personal. You start off at a chunin person, it's das. Then you come to Hashivenu Torah. Then we come to Slicha. Then we come to Hashem, we got some problems. I have some issues with whatever they may be. And then you come to Refuah. Then you come to Parnasa. Oh, and now we come to the Klal Yisrael. And in fact, there's a whole set of thought telling us that the bracha now that we're learning now begins, Teka B'Shoifar, it now begins a new series. There are total, how many brachas are in the center of Shemoneh Esrei? 13. There are 13 blessings in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. It starts with, the first three, of the Avos, Trias HaNesim, and Kedusha, and ends off, the end of Shemoneh Esrei is Avoda, Modim and Simshalim. So you have three in the beginning, three at the end, and in the middle we make third. There are 13 blessings where we make 13 requests. The last of the 13 blessings is Shema Koleinu. That's almost like a summary of the 12 middle blessings. Now the 12 middle blessings you break down into 6 and 6. What's the difference between the first six and the last six? The first six are personal blessings. The last six are public blessings. Blessings for the tzibur, for Klal Yisrael. Let's review. The Shemona Esrei has 19 blessings. The structure is three in the beginning. There are three in the beginning and three at the end. The first three in the beginning are praise. The three at the end are hoidah. Okay, that's the general time. Everyone knows that the first three represents our warm-up. Avos Tchiyas HaMeisim and Kedusha. The last three is Avodah, Hoidah, and Simshalom. So that's like our introduction, our send-off, our goodbye, when we say goodbye. And in the middle, we make our requests. How many requests do we have? How many blessings are? 13. The 13 are broken down into 12 plus 1. Shema Koileinu is the summary of the first 12. Now, from the first 12, what do? We break the first down into two groups of six. The first six are all personal blessings. The last six are requests for the tzibur. Now, that right away answers the question that goes to show that when it says the bracha, it's not redemption for Klal Yisrael. It's personal. I have my own personal issues which I need redemption. I need salvation. What they may be, they're all different types of personal issues, whether it be shidduchim, whether it be dealing with people, dealing with anything that can possibly, something that's a personal matter, and you need redemption, that's right. Fine. Now we come to bracha of Tekad B'Shoifar Godol Chereseinu. That's a Klal Yisrael. That's a bracha of Kibbutz Godol for Klal Yisrael. Now, there's only one problem with this. There's a very big problem with this. And that is on a fast day, we say Aneinu. Where do we insert Aneinu? When we say Aneinu as an individual, we say Aneinu in Shema Koleinu. But the Shaliach Tzibur, when he recites Aneinu at Shachas and Mincha, he does not insert Aneinu in Shema Koleinu. The Shaliach Tzibur inserts Aneinu right after Re'enu Avonyenu. And the Brach of Aneinu is basically a Brach of a Klal Yisrael. So, I don't have a good answer for you, but I think it's a very good question. If it's really true that the Brach of Re'enu Avonyenu is not about redemption, it's about personal issues, and the Brach of Tekad B'Shoifar, that's redemption. Wouldn't it make a lot more sense for us, for the nusach to be that the Baruch of Aneinu should be after Tekad B'Shoifar Gadol L'Chiruseinu? Doesn't that make sense? What's it doing after the Baruch of Reinu Aneinu? Okay, so there's a lot to be said about this. But the fact is that what we do is that we say it after Re'enu Avonyenu, which indicates, we can't ignore this, that the Baruch Re'enu Avonyenu represents the Geul of Klal Yisrael also. It's true, I can't deny the fact that all the Rishonim say that the Re'enu Avonyenu is personal because it's part of the first six blessings, but the fact that Aneinu is appended to Re'enu Avonyenu, and then we talk about Aneinu Hashem Elu Yom Tzom Tani Senuki V'Tzorim Yilam Machnu, and this is what we say on Shavuos B'Tammuz and on Tisha B'Av and on Aser B'Teves. I mean, this is Klal Yisrael. If this is personal, go put this after Tekad B'Shoifar. Obviously, it goes to prove that Re'enu Avonyenu, after all of the apologies are made by the Mishnah Berurah and all the Gedolei Yisrael, Re'enu Avonyenu also has a lot to do with the personal Golus of Klal Yisrael. Okay, there's something there. So if that's the case, the question has now been reinstated. Why do we need two blessings for the same purpose? If the bracha of Re'enu Avonyenu is about Ugi'oleinu Mehero Leman Shemecha, redeem us, and that's about Klal Yisrael, not about my digus, my personal digus, if it's about the Klal Yisrael, so that's the bracha, the Tekad B'Shoifar. Why do you have to have two? And don't answer me that no, you don't know what you're talking about. Re'eh v'onyeinu is not about Klal Yisrael. It's about my personal issues. Really? If that is correct, then why did Chazal insert Aneinu, Hashem, Aneinu, beyond some Taniseinu, which is beyond a doubt a bracha for Klal Yisrael, the Tzaris of Klal Yisrael, why did they insert that here? It must be, you may be correct that it's about personal issues, but it's also about Klal Yisrael. So what's going on? So the answer is like this. The answer is very simple. In between these two redemptions, we have Refa'enu and Baruch Aleinu, Parnasa and Refa'enu. Now, unfortunately, everyone can relate to this, but maybe halavai not. When we have tzaris rachmanis and galus, when we're preoccupied making a parnasa and dealing with health issues, so people who are preoccupied, they don't have a second to the day. The entire day they're running to make a parnasa. Another job, make money here, make money there, to pay tuition, to pay what it costs just to survive. And the Rahman was that the person is not well, and every day he's going here, going there, the whole nine yards, the whole story. You go to daven, people that are very sick, they daven, they go to shul, they come to shul. People that have parnasa, they work the whole day, they chaparai the mincha. They chap a mincha here, they chap a shachas there, they go to Meir, you see them in shul. Even though the whole day they're preoccupied, their mind is elsewhere, they go to shul, they daven. And when they daven, what are they daven for? Mashiach should come. Then you have people who are blessed, who have after working many, many years, working very hard, they're now financially secure. And Baruch Hashem, Chasdei Hashem, they are healthy. And they have more time on their hands. And they say, oh, I want Mashiach to come. The kavana a person has, the type of why do you need Mashiach to come? What do you need Mashiach? You have parnasa. You have everything you need. You don't have any daivas. A person who has the schus to merit financial stability. What do you need Mashiach for? You go to a shir, you learn yourself, you can give a shir, you can daven every day, a shmona esher, you can daven as long as you want. You have plenty of time on your hands. And Baruch Hashem, Chasdei Hashem, you're healthy. What do you need Mashiach for? What do you care? I understand the guy who doesn't have a nickel to his name and has to struggle, and the guy who's not so well, I understand why he wants Mashiach, because Mashiach will come. Mestaver, the Melech HaMashiach will create an economic system that will enable him to achieve financial stability, and somehow he'll find a refuah as well. I understand why he wants Mashiach. But this fellow who was doing good enough, is good enough, he has what he needs. What do you need Mashiach for? The answer is, everyone knows you still need Mashiach. There is a maturity, there is a different madrega of Mashiach. Just because a person has everything he wants, he has everything he needs. He has parnasa, he has health. That's really everything. You have health, you have everything. You have parnasa, then you're really over the top. But those people are not happy people. No matter how much they learn, no matter how much success they have, everyone understands there's something very dry in this world. There's something very absent. The world is just void of Hashem. There's a maturity that there is a mature form of a striving for Mashiach of Geula. Chazal are very clever. Chazal b'dafka put into the davening two blessings for Geula to awaken us. There are different madrigos of Geula. Just like we said before, that in the bracha of the Kabbalah Shofar, there are symbols, a nace, flag, there's a shofar. The earth has four very sharp corners. Just like they use that terminology to bring out that no, Geula is not just This is not the New York Times. You don't just read the newspaper and expect to understand every single word. It's complex. It's so complex that Chazal instituted two completely separate blessings. There's a blessing on a simpler level, Hashem Uri Mashiach. And that Mashiach comes before we achieve financial stability and good health. After we ask for Mashiach to come, oh, that's going to help us achieve refuah, parnasa, and refuah. Then there is, after we have parnasa, after you have refuah, then there is a deeper level. There's a depth. There's a Mashiach that has a much deeper form of Mashiach, which includes the more mature and spiritual advantages of Mashiach, even for those people that have everything. From all the different things, all the different needs a person has, the Geula has multiple dimensions in many forms. And that's why we have two separate blessings. Okay, now let's go to another idea. This idea I find to be very, totally new to me, and opens up a whole new world in understanding what Google is about. And I'm going to just try to work with you. Maybe you can tell me better how to fit this into this bracha. In this bracha, when you study all the mefarshim, everyone seems to point out that there are three separate requests in this blessing. First, we ask for the blowing of the shofar. To achieve what? Chirus. Teka b'shofar gadol l'chiruseinu. Chirus. Freedom. Through which? The shofar. Okay, very nice. Then there's the next part too. The sonais l'kabeitz guliyoseinu. Lift up the flake to ingather our exiles. Very nice. Okay, no problem with that. And then part three. The Kapseinu Yachad, gather us in the Arba Kanfais Aretz, from all four corners of the earth. Now, to me, it all sounds the same. This is just nice poetic repetition. Triple, it's all said, if you give me one of these phrases, I can't tell the difference between these phrases. To me, it's all the same. Blow the shofar. So what does that mean? It means, blow the shofar, Mashiach is here. So it means everyone from all four corners of the world is going to come and the banner will be lifted. You take any one of these expressions, they all mean the same thing. This is just poetic repetition, right? I mean, what else is going on over here? Why do we have to have three separate expressions to bring out exactly the same idea? How are we going to differentiate between what Cheruseinu, the Sonnes Lekabetz, Goluyoy Seinu, the Kabsel Yachad, the Arba Kanfos, Kibbutz Gol, and what's going on over here? So the truth is, there are a lot of Pirushim, there are a lot of good stuff, and the best stuff is all based on Psukim. Okay, that's all it comes down to, so we always appreciate. I don't do that here too much. We don't do that, but basically every single word in the Shemona Esrei is really just extracted from a pasuk, and there are many psukim, and that's a very important, a very basic mahalach in learning the Nusach HaTfilah. Unfortunately, I'm very negligent that I don't really do that. I focus more for the Jush, more for the abstract ideas. But okay, there are answers to this question, but I don't want to ignore the real answers. It's based on psukim, and I'm not going to go through the psukim now because it'll take forever. I came across an idea which really shook me up, and maybe we can say that what I saw idea really fits into the three different expressions. Here it goes. Everything that we experience today is rooted in the avos. That's a basic elementary principle. Maase avos simin Laban. Avraham went to Egypt. Hashem said to Avraham Avinu, go to Eretz Yisrael. What happened? He took a detour. He went to Mitzrayim. There was a famine. Oh, Avraham went to Mitzrayim, so we went down as a nation to Egypt. And this happened. This every little detail, Maise Ovois Simin Laban. Okay, that is Aleph base. Now, came point in time, Yaakov Avinu was living in Eretz Canaan. Everything was fine with it. He had 12 children. They were all living in peace. The neighbors were not harming them. They were living in Eretz Yisrael. I mean, it's unbelievable. Think about it. They were living there in Eretz Canaan. They came into Eretz Yisrael. Rachel died on the road, okay. And he was living there in Eretz Yisrael with his 12 children. Beautiful. And then, all of a sudden, he had trouble. Bikesh Yaakov Leishev B'Shalv. Yaakov wanted to live in peace. And what happened? Kavtsoy Olav Roigzoy Shal Yosef. Yosef had problems with his brothers. He had dreams. In the dream he saw, everyone's going to bow down to me. Very provocative. He tells his brothers, bow down to me, okay? He tells them his dreams. He tells his father the dreams. The brothers don't like him. He doesn't like them. Everyone knows the stories, the midrashim, everything spirals out of control. And what do? They sell him as a slave. And what else do? They cover it up. They tell their father he's dead. Taroif taraf Yosef here. Father, it's unbelievable what they did. It's just not to be believed. You recognize this garment? Stained in blood? Shocking. Machias Yosef, what more do you want? We're suffering out of your mouth of Machias Yosef. Okay. This is Maise Avos Sin and Labanim. Yaakov is living in Eretz Yisrael, and now one of his children is gone, missing in action. This is Golos for Yaakov. One of his children is gone. Where is he? As far as he knows, he's dead. That's what he's been told over and over. He's gone. Okay. Fast forward 22 years. Famine. He sends his children, except for Binyamin. He was afraid to send Binyamin. Go and buy some bread. Yeshever. They come back. One of his children is missing. Shimon is missing. You don't think Yaakov Avinu has tremendous Agmas Nefesh? I'm missing one of my children. He's a Gibor. Shimon is a tough guy. I wasn't afraid to send him. You know, I send him off. I had no daigus to send him. Gone. He didn't come back home. What happened? Oh, he's safe. He's locked up. They locked him up there in prison somewhere in Egypt. But he's alive. Don't worry. He's okay. He's a strong guy. He'll survive. That's Golus number two. Another daiga of Golus. Next, father, we have to go again to buy more food, but this time we want Binyamin to come with us. Because if Binyamin doesn't come with us, we're not getting any food. So at the very end, when things are really rough, okay, you could have Binyamin. But kasher shokolti shokolti. Here, it was a different type of daiga. I'm afraid he won't even survive the trip. It's not... Shimon, he wasn't worried about Shimon surviving the trip. Shimon knows how to drive. He knows how to swim. He knows how to jog. He knows how to hitchhike. He knows how to get where he needs to go. He's not afraid. He's a good pilot. Air Force pilot. He can fly F-35 in his sleep. But when the plane lands, he was afraid, you know. I mean, what's doing there with him? What's going on with him there? They're starving him to death. He's a prisoner of war. What's going on? Binyamin, he doesn't even know how to fly a plane. He doesn't have a driver's license. I'm afraid he'll become a werewolf on the road, on the way. You'll leave here in 5 minutes. He'll die. He's a very delicate child. He'll turn into a werewolf. That's what it says in Chaya. Forget about what's going to happen to him there. He can't even survive. He gets nauseous in the car. He's not going to survive. And that was it. And then eventually, Yaakov was reunited with all of his three children. Yosef was alive. Shimon, they took him out. And Binyamin was also fine. Maise Avos Sin and Labanim. There are three daigos Yaakov Avinu experienced. Three very different types of daigos, worries regarding his three children. He had a daiga for Yosef, a daiga for Shimon, and a daiga for Binyamin. And they're all very different. Yosef, he's dead. He blamed himself. The daiga of the golus of Yosef, he's an avod. He's gone. He doesn't even have a burial spot. He's gone. Shimon, he's not gone. He's alive. I know he's alive. I know my son Shimon. He's a tough guy. But what are they doing to him in Egypt? Are they torturing him? Are they brainwashing him? Are they, therefore, they're putting him in a labor camp? What's going on there with him? It's a very different daiga. He wasn't worried that Shimon was dead. Shimon can take care of himself. But what are they doing to him? What kind of life does he have there? Binyamin? He's lost. It's a different daiga. It's a different daiga. Binyamin, Kasher Vasher Shakoldi Shkoldi. He's very delicate. He can't even. He's alive. I don't think that he's dead. But my daiga, he can't even. Man, he can't maneuver. It's a different type of daiga. Three types of daigos. Maise ovois simin labanim. There are three casualties of Klal Yisrael and Golus. There's the casualty of Golus of death. People just dying, gone, finished. And then there's the daiga of people are alive, not worried about them. But what's happening to them? I mean, what's going on? They're in prison. They're in prison. In the Golus, they've been imprisoned. And then there's the daiga of Binyamin. The daiga that he can't even maneuver. He can't even settle down. He's a nomad. He can't even survive the trip just to maneuver in Golus. Three different types of daigos in Golus. Maise ovois simin labanim. Three daigos. Now, we go to the Shemoneh Esrei, and we ask Hashem, you know Hashem, we got a problem. We're in Golus. And we come back to the three types of Golus. Teka b'shoifar godol l'cheiru semes. I'm just making a suggestion, I don't know if this is MS, not MS, I'm just trying to read this in. The first line is Cheirus. Cheirus means just to be alive, basically. Yaakov Avinu, the Shechina departed from him for 22 years because he really thought he was the ultimate prisoner, Yaakov Avinu, because he believed that Yosef was dead, and that type of daiga is what he's mispalel to kabish for godol cheruseinu, our freedom. You can live with yourself. The ultimate, we all know, everyone will tell us that the ultimate form of being a prisoner is to be a prisoner of yourself in your own mind. When you can't break out of what you've done to yourself. Everyone to a degree suffers from that. Some a little bit, some a lot. You're a prisoner of your own mind. Why? My son's dead. The next level, the son nays lekabitz goluyoy seinu, that's Shimon. Shimon's not dead. Shimon's a tough guy. He's macho. He's sitting there in prison. They locked him up in prison, and he's giving them a hard time. He's giving them a hard time. But it's not pleasant for Shimon to be sitting there in prison. Shimon should be home in Eretz Yisrael. He should be a big Rosh Hashiva. He can make trouble there. He can make trouble for the government. He's going to make trouble for the government. What do you have to make trouble for the prison guard in Egypt? And then there's the last one. The Kapitseinu Yachad Me Arba Kanfa Saaretz, the lost souls in Yemen. The people that are scattered all over the world, they don't even know where they are. The lost souls, that's Binyamin, the daiga that Yaakov had for Binyamin. So we have over here three different expressions. Okay, I don't know if this is really, it's a drush, so obviously it's not the pshat. The pshat is based upon psukim, why we use these three expressions. But this new idea came across, I found it very, very fascinating, that there are three daigos of gods. Maise ovois simon labanim. Yaakov Avinu, who is the father of Klal Yisrael, when he was living in Eretz Yisrael, reflecting upon his children who are no longer in Eretz Yisrael, who have left the land, he had three different experiences regarding his children. Three daigas: Yosef, Shimon, and Binyamin. He'll say there's really a fourth. I'm thinking about this. He'll say Dina. Not really. Dina, she didn't leave the land. She was. That was really in the land. She didn't leave the land. She was in the land. But Yaakov had three daigos for his children, and those three daigos, Ma'isa v'Sim L'Banim, are the daigos, the damage a Klal Yisrael experiences in Golus. And here in this tefillah, we have three parts. We're trying to say drush that these three parts of the bracha correspond to these three types of issues, which we are in the stalel, that should be restored. Okay, we'll stop over here. Thank you very much for coming. But with me, have a good night. All the best to everyone.
Have a good night.
It's a pleasure. Have a good night. The morning is
Yosef Atzalek Tonight?
Yep, tomorrow. Tonight. Aleph.
Yosef Atzadik from the time of the Torah.
Yeah. Not the one living in
Israel.
He's
still alive. That one's alive.
Yeah. You have your site next Thursday.
Zion. Yeah. You want to go to the cemetery with me?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, Hashem.
And Lubavitch is on Sunday.
What's the Rebbe's Yard site?
Yeah, Gimel Thomas, yeah.
The Rebbe's Yard site is what, Sunday, Gimel Thomas?
Yeah, Shabbos is a big Shabbos. I think they took reservations for the whole place is full already. They have campers and beds.
Where? 770?
No, at the Ohel.
The Ohel, over Shabbos, they're willing to sleep in the cemetery.
They're down there every once in a while.
Last year, what did they do last year? They had nothing last year? Corona?
I don't know what they did last year.
Probably nothing.
There were guys who went last year, I'm sure.
Privately, still hate.
Huh?
Yeah, still hate. Not the Farhesia. Not. They couldn't get away with going to the Farhesia. Quietly. This year, probably no restrictions anymore. All right, Baruch Hashem. Maybe the Rebbe will come back to life. If you bang hard enough on the grave, he'll come back.
We'll avoid the COVID.
If you'll bang hard enough, he'll come back. All right.
What's with your friend in the Chevra Kadisha?
I'm chicken. I'm not really interested in going now.
I'll go with you. Go ahead. Put me down. I saw an ad that a very funny ad. It relates to what we spoke about. It says, Leil Hamishi